from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Georgia at that point has beaten, let's say that they get there and they've beaten Clemson, they've beaten Bama at Bama, they've won at Texas, and they just won they maybe like knocked out Florida. They're a little banged up. Ole Miss jumps on them. Because like even last year, as bad as that game was, Ole Miss moved the football a little bit. And like let's say Ole Miss jumps up on them. Georgia's kind of sleepy. And it's like 24-10, 24-7 and a half. Georgia comes out, doesn't have a good drive to start. Like, are we going to start to see some teams like kind of pack it in and be like, all right, let's just get healthy and get out of here?
I see the logic, but I think this is the one you're maybe having the hardest time convincing me on. Arkansas being better than expected, I'm all in. You almost talked me into Kentucky getting one of those two. I just think in college football there is still too much of a talent gap, and I'm a big like talent wins the day.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way.
And like in the NFL, I think the talent gap from team to team, not necessarily if you're talking top of the league versus bottom of the league, but from team to team, I think the talent gap is much smaller than the team-to-team talent gap in college football.
When the best team plays the worst team in the NFL, if the spread's more than 14 points, it's insane.
Right.
We see conference games with, there'll be weeks where you don't have a college football line under 14 points in a league.
Right. And so that's why, I think back to last year, Ole Miss was one of the three or four best teams in the SEC last year, and they got boat raced in the end. I mean, yeah, they moved the ball a little bit for a quarter and a half, but throughout four quarters, they got boat raced by Georgia. I think the gap has closed marginally thanks to, Ole Miss's continued portal hauls, but I think there's still a gap, and I still think it's like, Even if you're a little sleepy, I think across four quarters, talent wins the day. I mean, I think back to that Georgia win at Columbia, Missouri a couple years ago. Yeah. Like, for most of that game, Mizzou fans are going nuts. It's like, Missouri's going to do this. They're going to do this. And the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're not. Georgia's going to wake up with about 10 minutes to go in this game, and they almost didn't. But how many times can you say, like, well, something almost didn't happen? Like, I still think...
Well, Hugh count that as a win.
Full circle, yeah. Yeah, Hugh's counting up those almost victories. Yeah, almost.
Close losses.
He wasn't coaching. Yeah.
We covered.
Victories, the envies. But, yeah, I don't know. This is the one you're having the hardest time convincing me on, because I still think college football, there's too much of a talent separator. I mean, that's why I say, like, there's only like really three or four or five teams that can win the national championship this year. There's 25, 30 teams that can contend for the playoff. There's like five teams that can win the national championship. And I think that's probably working against this argument that a team is going to suffer a sleepwalk loss because they're looking ahead to the playoffs, so they're dialing it down. I don't know. I also don't think – maybe I'm not giving them enough credit. I don't know if the average college athlete thinks about it that way. And I'm not saying like they're running onto the field playing for old State U. I'm not saying that. But I think sometimes we give athletes too much credit, like saying, like, they know they can lose this game and still be in the play. Like,
well, it's just, it's more of like, it's not fight or flight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know if they know that. That's, you know, I mean, like, Kirby had his team believing a couple years ago that the media picked him to go 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kirby might convince them this year that they actually do have to win all these games, or that they're going to be out of the play. You know, like, I mean, obvious things.
If you don't win this game, I'm not letting you speed now.
Well, that would be his strongest argument to keep him focused. Yeah, I'm going to take away the car keys if you don't win.
No more Chargers for you.
But I don't know. I actually think, like, a lot of these athletes, some of these athletes don't even know there's a 12-team playoff. I kid you not. There was an athlete that I think it was at SEC Media Days.
They played for Vanderbilt.
Didn't realize the playoff expanded until like a week before Media Days or something.
Oh, how about that, huh?
Yeah. So,
big gulps, huh?
Some of these guys will probably still think, like, we got to go 12-0. We're not making the playoff. And their coach will convince them of that.
All right. This is the last one I was thinking about. So inevitably, every year, we're going to have a team that surprises. You know, like Missouri and Ole Miss exceeding expectations last year. And then we're inevitably going to have a team that disappoints. I've weirdly thought, if you talk me into the team that pleasantly surprises, I've talked myself into A&M, and then I've talked myself into the team that could disappoint would be Texas.
I think the team that's going to disappoint could be Texas, could be Missouri, although is 9-3 really a disappointment for Missouri, or did the expectations just get a little too high? So I don't even know if that counts. And then I'd put Ole Miss in there, too, just because expectations have gotten so huge for Ole Miss. It feels like anything shy of making like the Final Four would be a disappointment, but I don't really know if it is. A&M, I think the team that overachieves, surprises, I think so. Team that disappoints, I think there's a few contenders in there. I would put Tennessee in the list, too. Like, Vols fans, I mean, heck, half of them seem like they've talked themselves into 11-1.
I'm scared. I've talked myself into Tennessee.
As being good. An overachiever or underachiever?
Like 10-2 good.
Oh, I don't know. I think the back end of that defense is still
good. I need you to tell me, because I don't like being, when I talk myself into Tennessee, it's always a disaster.
I think the defense is going to be pretty shaky, particularly in the back end. Now, if Nico's Hendon Hooker, and he's got maybe a receiver emerges who's Jalen Hyatt, it's not going to matter what the back end of the defense does, because they'll score 50 points a game and go.
That just means we get the ball back sooner.
That's right. But I'm not quite ready to say Nico is going to be Hendon Hooker this season. And I'm less likely to say that there's a Jalen Hyde on that roster. And you add in the secondary. I'm fading Tennessee a little bit. I feel like other people are picking up heat on him. So maybe that's just being a little too close to home. I covered that program, obviously, for a long time. So, I think the list of underachievers actually is bigger than the overachievers. I think Texas A&M is the right one on the overachieve.
I think that's going to be the real question this year. In the expanded league, kind of coming into the year, it's like my expectation is the good teams are going to be good and the bad teams are going to be bad. The reality is probably going to be it's going to be mushier than that, with the exception of Georgia, because I do agree.
Right.
Like, when you're even saying like four or five teams, like, I'm now starting to wonder if there's only two teams that can win the national title, if it's just Ohio State and Georgia. Like, I really am at that point of, and I'm not saying that maybe there aren't four or five, but I'm curious to see if the season plays out, because kind of what we've seen the last few years is that you could identify the good teams, you got to identify the bad teams, and they kind of all separated. I'm wondering if it's mushier this year.
Yeah, and I think I would extend it to at least three. I'm starting to talk myself more and more into Alabama. I mean, I think they are the three.
We're sleeping. I completely agree. We're sleeping on them.
It's Georgia and Ohio State on one tier. It's Alabama on the next tier. And then there's a couple more that you could say maybe are long-shot title contenders. But, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, true odds to win a national championship, you give me Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama – I'm feeling pretty darn comfortable with those three, and I wouldn't have Alabama ranked third in the poll. I think they're ranked appropriately, but if, you know, rankings and who can win the national championship, I look at it as a little bit differently. So those I think are the three. Ohio State versus Georgia, I know we're wrapping up here, but that's an interesting conversation. Like, there are, for all of Kirby's crocodile tears this week about how he doesn't have any, mm-hmm. as much depth in that program as he used to.
Yeah,
like,
uh-huh.
okay, that's a factual statement, but you also got more depth
than everybody else. Yeah.
Than everybody else, except for maybe Ohio State. That roster's loaded, and it all comes down to how good's Will Howard going to be at Ohio State.
Well, to your point, my buddy Tim Murray, that works out at VSIN in Circa's offering Georgia and Ohio State versus the field at -110.
Yeah, that.
That tells you what they think.
that seems like I'd still take Georgia and Ohio State, right? Yeah. I mean, Alabama's the wild card, because I don't know how this Alabama season is going to go. Normally, I feel like you get a pretty good read on Alabama. You know they're going to be one of the couple teams at the end.
Isn't that really, because like when it comes down to it, we don't know whether or not we actually believe in Milroe.
I think that's part of it, but I think I like Milroe better with DeBoer than I would have with Saban and Tommy Reese.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a no-brainer,
fair.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm a bigger believer in Milroe than I would have been otherwise. I actually think my hesitation with Alabama, some of it's with Milroe, but I think it's more so they took a lot of hits in their secondary with the transfer of Caleb Downs to Ohio State. And people always talk about Caleb Downs, but their top two cornerbacks from last year are gone. Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold, both in the NFL now. So, I mean, that secondary took a lot of hits, and it's not like the typical case at Alabama where you lose all these guys in the NFL and then somehow you look at the roster next year and the new guys are even better. I don't see that in Alabama's secondary this year. But still, I mean, if we're talking about top-to-bottom talent, they're in that number three position, I think, behind Georgia and Ohio State. I mean, Ole Miss has assembled a lot of talent, too. I just don't know if they're going to be good enough on defense to contend for a national championship. And I think Jackson Dart's a good quarterback. If you're relying on your offense, though, to deliver a national championship, is he good enough to lead an offensive-fueled national championship run? I don't know. He feels like good enough to go 10-2 and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, buddy, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
That is Blake Topmeyer, SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. We come back. Let's get into the list. We'll get an update out from TPC Southwind. We've got a few other headlines that I want to get to. We'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Will Levis.
You just made the list!
Yeah, Steve, this comes to us from our friend Joe Rexroad. Does a great job covering the Titans. Also does a radio show in Nashville. All-time good guy. He wrote this about Levis earlier today. On the endeavor, all should enjoy and see for what it is, a person having fun, not taking himself too seriously, and capitalizing on his uniquely creamy niche in the marketplace, Will Levis earned high marks this week. He also made history. Unless anyone can remember another NFL quarterback coming to a news conference with his own condiment-inspired cologne, spraying the wrists of several reporters with it, and then watching his teammates sniff the wrists of those reporters and gave the reviews. It was all a little strange, but as a pitchman for Hellman's concoction, Will Levis number 8, Parfum de Mayonnaise, Levis was brilliant. As a quarterback, he wasn't. The disappointment was apparent in his reaction Thursday near the end of the second day of two Tennessee Titans joint practices with the Seattle Seahawks after throwing an interception on the first play of the two-minute drill. Shoulders slumped, helmet off, words muttered. The first team offense needed a strong finish to a largely frustrating day. Instead, that giveaway was the finish. The starters were done. Levis might not throw another pass involving people other than his teammates until the season opener at Chicago on September the 8th. He and the other starters won't play when the teams meet Saturday at Nissan Stadium, and then we'll see if and how much he will play in the preseason finale in New Orleans. The reason why I bring all this up, because to me, Steve, this is, Will Levis is kind of in this, he's in this position similar to where the Bills were kind of year two, year three with Josh Allen, where they have tried to surround him with as much good players as they can. I think they actually did a really good job making the roster better in free agency and giving themselves a chance. But this is where I just really struggle. I've not watched him be particularly accurate throughout his entire career. And I just really find it hard to believe, no matter how much somebody wants to be good and how much might do the right thing, I just really struggle believing in quarterbacks that can't, that are just not accurate. And to me, he's in this weird spot where the Titans, you know, they're trying to figure out, but like, I'm nowhere closer to believing the Titans have the quarterback position solid and figured out. I'm curious to know where you sit.
You know, you pose questions to me this week, and you just know you have no idea where I'm going to go.
I love it.
And this is my connection to Will Levis, okay? Getting into the TV world and moving to Connecticut, it got my, whatever you want to call it, broadcasting career on life support, selling cars for cash for clunkers in Delaware and Westchester, Pennsylvania, as my boys were two and a half, and newborn years ago, came to Connecticut and started doing high school football. Xavier High School in Middletown, Connecticut. Tim Boyle was the starting quarterback, and they had a two-quarterback situation. Boyle was the big arm. Boyle can throw the football through a brick wall. Hyperbole, yes, but he had a cannon, even in high school, 11th grade, 12th grade. Will Levis went to the same high school as Boyle. Xavier High School in Middletown, Connecticut. And similar of has a cannon, but that strong arm as a quarterback or as a pitcher in baseball, velocity, oh, he throws 100. Okay, where does he throw it? Doesn't throw in the strike zone. Okay, then I don't care about the velocity. Will Levis, I can drive 25 minutes up the road. That's where he grew up in Madison, Connecticut. It doesn't surprise me. Again, it's sort of the pitcher and the quarterback. I draw a parallel and want to continue to go there. It's something, you know, I mean, he had a quarterback coach in high school. He had all the everything available to him. But it's putting the final, you know, finishing touches on what it's going to be. If he doesn't have it at this age, what, 25 now? Is he ever going to have it?
I mean, let's see, because he transferred from Penn State. Let's see. The other problem that I have with Levis is I find, like, I want to like him. Because, like, right. I do appreciate a guy that kind of has a sense of humor, doesn't seem to take himself too seriously. But at the same time, it's like, I do think, like, he wants to be great. It feels like he does everything the right way. It's just, you hit the nail on the head. He is the type of pitcher that I hated going up against. I don't, you know, we saw guys that threw hard, but if they threw hard and in the strike zone, they weren't as terrifying because you just kind of, you know, you look first pitch fastball, hope you time it up well, and if not, whatever, you're striking out going back anyway. But there's nothing worse than the guy that throws pretty hard but has no idea where it's going. You just never get comfortable in the box.
And at some point here, it's going to...
He is 25, though. You're correct. His birthday is my wedding anniversary.
There you go. So, again, another baseball reference, but, you know, okay, the guy's not, you know, Billy Beane, Brad Pitt, Moneyball movie. Well, if he's not hitting in the minor leagues, why are we going to expect that he's going to hit in the major leagues? Why are we going to expect that all of a sudden he's going to turn it on and he's going to find that touch and he's going to find those windows? And he's going to start hitting his receivers the way he's supposed to hit. And right now, to me, it's at what point do his receivers start saying this isn't happening and they start getting frustrated first, in-house first, and then frustrated vocally outside of the football team?
Well, if I know receivers like I think I do.
It's coming soon.
Not very. So you've got DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd. They've also got Treylon Burks from Arkansas, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I'm trying to think. Mason Rudolph. The advantage is at least like you don't have Tannehill. Like at least you don't have like a competent another option. Like Mason Rudolph, we kind of know what he is at this point,
right?
So like, at
but
least,
I think that also it's one of those of you've all, you know, for a young quarterback. And he's still young. We established 25, but still, in terms of experience, very young.
Well, and I also think back to like
it's got to happen. But aren't you know if those receivers aren't making the catches, and you know how many times do they go in their direction? You know, targets and all of that. We count everything. You're starting to take away from their livelihood too. Oh. If you're not making those passes,
and everybody's got bonuses too.
Right. And those all play into it.
I don't know. It's just one of those. I really do. Like, Titans fans think I just hate on him because, like, it's like some vendetta. It's like, no, I really do want to like him. Like, I find his personality engaging. I just can't, like, I can't unsee what I've seen. It's kind of the same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like, I really struggle believing that a top five quarterback got benched at halftime in a college football game and his team was better. Like, I struggle buying into that. And that may be dumb on my part, but, like, I saw it. You know what I mean?
It's been a theme of our week together. They're not finished products and they're far from it. And how do the NFL teams figure out a way to bring these guys along better? Because we're not that far removed. A decade ago, the quarterbacks that were coming into the league are more established. And going back to Hard Knocks, stupid me, I did not watch episode one where Nick Saban was there. And he's talking about a new quarterback.
Did you like how Eberflus had his own head coach? They were coach of the coach?
Yes.
I thought that was good.
You know, where's the quarterback whisperer? Where's that coach? I mean, I always remember Mike Westhoff, best special teams coach in the NFL, and always had a job, went somewhere else, landed it. And after he left one team, they suffered in that role in special teams the next year or two. But where is that true combination of, hey, this is what we have. He's a first-round pick. I know they're invested financially, and they want him to, every single quarterback that's a first-rounder or a Brock Purdy. Again, it's working for Brock Purdy somehow, some way. He's able to make these throws within a system. They know what his strengths are. So how do you play to Will Levis and his strengths right now? To the best, to make him the best, to make his receivers the best, to make that offense the best it can be.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Go away from his weaknesses.
I mean, because they bring in Callahan. They bring in Callahan, even though he wasn't the play caller in Cincinnati, I actually kind of liked the hire. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the other thing that kind of plays into the question that you're asking is, isn't the answer probably you don't really have the time to develop anyone anymore? You know what I mean? Like,
well, we're wasting money.
We're firing coaches at a much faster rate. Where because it kind of comes back to the off air. Gabe Kuhn and I were just talking about Drake May last night, and we were kind of both in the same spot where Thursday night's my night to cook dinner, and so I didn't watch the Patriots preseason game live. So I saw all the Twitter reaction talking about, how great May looked. And NFL Network, I had the game saved, and I went back and watched it. And I found myself going, I didn't think, it was bad. But I was, I was pretty underwhelmed. And I know inherently in that is the expectation of I thought I was going to be wowed. And it's okay, well, he had the two big passes that were dropped. But I'm also sitting there thinking to myself, this is now the second straight week I've watched the Patriots in preseason with all the caveats of it's preseason. I get it. But, Steve, that roster stinks. And I'm just sitting there going, if I've got a guy like May, your offensive line's not particularly good. They don't have any weapons. Why am I in a giant rush to get him out there as soon as possible? I think the guy's just going to get the absolute crap knocked out of him and not have a ton of success. I do believe you get better by playing. That is how you develop. But I would not be in a rush to get him out there.
And that's where the Bears and Caleb Williams, you have two top, two picks in the top 10. You get your quarterback, you get your receiver.
And you have DJ Moore. You basically stole DJ Moore from the Panthers. You were able to give him an extension because you have a cheap quarterback. And they've done a pretty good job rebuilding the offensive line. To me, that's kind of the thing where Caleb Williams is in this unique spot of normally when you're the top pick, you're going to a horrible team. Well, the Bears, that wasn't their number one pick. That was the Panthers' number one pick. And, when you kind of take a step back in terms of a number one pick, it's a pretty good spot for Williams to be going into.
Right.
I'd rather be.
Yeah, they can complement each other for years.
I'd rather be Caleb Williams going to the Bears as the number one pick than Drake May at three to the Patriots.
100%. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over. And that's what a lot of NFL teams are doing. To your point of, they don't have time to develop. Well, then you're just going to be looking for another quarterback in a couple more years. And you're going to waste this first round talent because you're not going to commit to them for that second contract, which is where they want to get to. And May, look down the road in your own division. The Jets have not been able to do it. What did Zach Wilson not have around him during his tenure with the Jets? No offensive line. Injuries, didn't want to spend on it early. And the Patriots are in unknown territory. How long is this fan base going to, Patriot, Red Sox fans? I mean, the Red Sox fans, I'm reading a book right now when the current ownership group of the Red Sox took over, and there was a love affair. They renovated Fenway Park. They broke the curse. They've won four World Series. They've turned on that ownership group. They don't like them because that's not their singular focus. This fan base for the Patriots and Robert Kraft, hey, we're used to winning. We may not have won the Super Bowl every single year, but we went to the AFC Championship, or we got to the Super Bowl where we lost to Eli Manning on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, he did.
That's Yeah, they did. I threw your team in there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they're not going to allow for this.
With all due respect to, of course, my wife and my beautiful daughter, like, two of the greatest days of my life.
Understood.
There's just
But, you know, we talk about the advertising dollar and all of this stuff. Patriot, you know, you want to see what will get their attention is empty seats in October, November, and December. Or not empty seats, but now it's all of a sudden a 50-50 stadium. The visiting teams are coming in, and you're hearing their fans in your home stadium.
It's a Chargers game.
It's a
Well, I was thinking about this. So you tell me, how has the fan base for the Patriots, what was their reaction to the Belichick hit piece dynasty, the Apple TV Plus? I use the term documentary in air quotes, like, because that was not a documentary. Like, that was clearly, like, it was the world according to Robert Kraft trying to get into the Hall of Fame, I guess. But I was very curious right. how, because to me, the reason why I asked that question is, like, I can't see being a Patriot fan and thinking, like, I'm going to relive, you know, one of the greatest 20-year runs of sports ever. And then you sit down and you watch it, and it's just like, Bill Belichick is evil.
Right, but he was our guy, so we look past that evil.
Well, and, like, but to me, it's like that almost would kind of make me sour on Kraft.
Yeah, Kraft is not the most liked person in the world. And he's control the message. You know, whether it's Belichick or Kraft shoulder to shoulder or at odds with each other and going in opposite directions. And Belichick, I mean, think about what was it? Was it a 30-30 with him and Parcells, and Belichick would not go into the Jets locker room?
Yeah.
That guy knows how to, those guys at that level, they know how to hold a grudge.
Yeah, I just.
And they'll wait for their right opportunities. But Kraft was able to control that message where he got out of that what he wanted. Hey, it wasn't just Bill Belichick who did this. There were other facets. And we all know that it's, you know, that happened at the perfect time. It worked for all of them. And now they sort of want to, you know, nitpick and, you know, who's supposed to get the most credit? You know, whether it's Kraft or what George Steinbrenner was. They wanted the credit. And Steinbrenner got jealous of Joe Torre over time. And Belichick, you know, and Kraft to a certain degree. You're the owner. But you are not going to get, even Jerry Jones perhaps understands, it's still the coach who's going to get the credit, although Jerry's going to be right there in the front, you know, come down on the field the way he did, you know, what he used to, you know, be right there in the pictures and all of that. They want the adulation, but it's the coach who's going to take the hits for the most part. And that's, you know, it's part of the reason you hire some of these guys. So it amazes me with that one of, like, all was good in their worlds until it wasn't. And the divorce was coming, and, you know, every divorce is ugly in one way or another.
Yeah, I you know, it's interesting because if you have Patriots fans that know the Patriots pre-Kraft, okay, well, you know, that was not exactly a great franchise. So, like, you have that.
Right.
But now you have this generation of Patriots fans that basically only know excellence. Like, I just really wonder how this is going to go, because it's like, this does not feel like a, oh, well, they'll be bad. They were bad last year. They'll be bad again this year, but they'll flip it next year. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, it feels like there's a long way to go before I start to believe in them again.
It can happen, but you have to hit more than you miss. And again, we think they have their quarterback next year. You know, you can't be going back into the draft next year. And what I think Belichick always said, you know, every couple of years you're drafting a quarterback. That was part of his thinking when it came to the draft. You know, and ultimately was to back up Tom Brady for all those years. But next year, you're thinking right now, we have the luxury of not having to worry about a quarterback next year. We just added another third round pick. That's an asset. We build up, and next year we absolutely have to hit on the draft. Then it can turn around and be right back there to what Patriot fans are used to. But you're a lot right now, like a lot of other organizations. You better not miss more than you hit on these draft classes.
All right, Nick Cage.
You just made the list.
All right, Steve, I wanted to get your thoughts. So yesterday, I believe it was Variety that first reported it. Nick Cage is going to be in a David O. Russell biopic starring as John Madden. And it was, I'll give you my immediate reaction, and I want to hear yours. My first thought was, I did not realize that I needed this movie, but now I really do want to see it. I feel like Nick Cage is, like, just insane enough that he's going to, like, I feel like he's going to nail this role, and I actually am excited to see this.
I missed that one, and I miss a lot of them. Instantly, I thought, wow, if he can get into that character, that could be a home run.
I know.
And, you know, we spent a lot of time in the first hour on, you know, what's Tom Brady going to be? And I thought, never brought it up, but, I mean, John Madden, we're never going to have another John Madden. These guys aren't going to be willing to go out on that limb and be John Madden. You know, and they're not those person, you know, they're not that type of personality.
Do you even think you could be that anymore? Like, isn't everything now just so corporatized? Like I don't even think John, right. Like, if John Madden would be, when did he start broadcasting? When, like, 38? It was pretty young, wasn't it? Because he retired
it
early.
It was young, because he retired it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know
if 38. Could have had another couple of decades in coaching.
I don't even know if, like, let's say 40 for the sake of ease. If 40-year-old John Madden were today, like, I don't think he would present himself the same way that he was able to then.
Right. You think of Fox. You know, Fox is Fox. They be willing to go out on that limb these days. It's going to be more corporate, like you said. But think of Fox even with, you know, on baseball. They had Tim McCarver for many years with Joe Buck, and then they went... Again, vanilla.
Yep.
If you want to say John Smoltz, great analyst, but there's, you know, he's not off the cuff, and he's not, you know, big time personality. But Madden was it worked for him. I mean, boy, geez, did he ran with it. I mean, he just ran with everything that he got. He made out well with the whole Madden football and video game, right? There was, like, he could have gone in this direction or this direction, and did he choose the right direction? I
would say he chose the right direction. And then also, you know, he was like the first broadcaster that embraced being a pitch man. He didn't really care. Right. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't care what he was selling. It seemed to be the question was, did the check clear? That seemed to be the only question.
Right. But you know what? He even to this day, when I think back on John Madden in that role, I always felt like he gave the client 100%.
Oh, yes.
Like, he was
boom,
going...
Tough acting, right? Tenactin. Like, I wanted to know, like, I wanted athlete's foot just so I could get tough acting Tenactin, because I owed it to Coach Madden.
And it amazes me today, and we were talking about Barkley yesterday, and even Jordan. You know, Jordan, you hear him on the Gatorade commercials to this day. These guys are just known as pitchmen to the generations after us. I mean, you're in your 30s. I'm way too old. And... kids don't even hear about Jordan Barkley anymore, John Madden. They're just known as pitchmen.
Pitchmen are guys on their TV.
Right, the guys on their TV. Wait, Charles Barkley was an all-NBA player? He's a Hall of... That guy played basketball? He was 6'5", 6'6", and he was known as the round mound of rebound, and he would go in against seven-footers? No idea outside of highlights. And I really thought that yesterday. I got caught up watching 2 minutes of videos and all fast breaks and dunk from the running rebels of Jerry Tarkanian, of Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony, Anderson Hunt, and Stacey Augmon yesterday. And I was like, wow, this is nostalgia.
Nothing like a YouTube
and
rabbit hole.
Nobody knows who those players are. You know, even Jordan is, you know, okay, who is this Jordan guy? Really? Somebody was better than LeBron James? And Kobe Bryant? I mean, that just came out, but it's like, you know, I mean... How are they going to remember Kobe Bryant 10 years? Because he wasn't able to establish himself in that role. And Kobe Bryant, to me, was going to have, I mean...
Oh, he would... The post-career...
The next two... It was going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, because he was already...
Right? Off the charts.
I mean, he's already starting to change the narrative. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about our events of the weekend, sporting games, events, because, yeah, we're still not quite to all games, but we'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. For me, I'm going to be selfish. My event that I'm looking most forward to this weekend is the FedEx St. Jude Championship. We're going tomorrow. My boy Rory McIlroy looks like I'm going to have to get out there early. He is not playing good golf, so he'll have an early tee time. But that's, to me, golf is one of those interesting sports where even though I obviously love it, I'm not someone that insists upon it. You know, sometimes when you get more of the niche sport and you get people that will insist on that sport. Like, I understand the reasons that people can't get into golf. I do think, however, going to a golf tournament's always just a fun event. And I just always think about every time I'm out there, everybody seems to be having a good time.
So who are you going with? And do you go in with a plan, or do you just sort of go about, okay, you know, and be flexible the whole day?
So heading out there with the wife, she through her work, we've got pavilion passes, which means there will be air conditioning. And if the reaction to how hot it is out there, of course, it doesn't bother me. I'm from this. I'm born in this. Like, I can handle that. But normally what I used to do was I'd go find someone to follow for about 9 holes, watch that, and then go to the pavilion, and then, because it's on the 18th hole, and you just kind of watch the groups roll in. With my boy Rory not really being a part of it, I feel like I'm just going to wind up doing whatever my wife wants to do, because there'll be TVs in there, and I can kind of keep up with the tournament that way. If you made me guess, I'm going to house several Prono Pups, which are a local delicacy of a corn dog on a stick. And I would imagine I'm just going to be posted up on the 18th.
What are you washing that down with?
It's a good question. Whatever's free, honestly. I mean, I'll be
a member of the media.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, I'll be driving, and I mean, there are some people that just view this as like a, you know, an opportunity to just go get housed. That's not really, but to me, it's like whatever's free. Normally, it's always like some version of like a Mick Ultra, because the PGA Tour has a deal with them, and that's not really my jam. So then I just wind up having like 15 Cokes.
Works for me.
It's not. Well,
and I'm glad you're doing this with your wife.
It's not. It's not a good calorie day. You know. You don't leave feeling better about yourself. I'll say that.
The weekends are made for calories.
Yes. Because the other problem is like, all right, we got baseball going on. Steve, I don't know if you're aware of this. My beloved St. Louis Cardinals, it's not quite as bad as it was maybe a month ago, but they're 60-61 with a negative 63 run differential. And of their 60 wins, Helsey has 37 saves. Like, at one point it was like Helsey had like 27 saves of like 35, 38 wins. But like, that just shows like, A, there's this Cardinal response that they all think it's the manager's fault, and I'm just screaming, like, I'm not saying Ollie's doing a great job, but if it's like, if you think that he's the problem, like, you're not watching, and it's just, I don't know. Watching baseball right now feels like a chore more than I enjoy it.
Your team just scored 4 runs and losing all 3 in Cincinnati.
Yes. Yes. And by the way,
4 runs in Cincinnati.
And 2 of those 4
were 90 plus.
2 of those 4 were garbage runs in game 3. It is excruciating to watch.
You know, the Cardinals, to me right now, we were talking about the Patriots in the last segment. The Cardinals what are we doing here? Are we dipping our toes in that we want to be competitive, or, you know, are we going to break this down? Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, I mean, anybody who's ever gone to St. Louis, their career ends well, right? These guys, that's not happening with these two.
They're so afraid. So much of the Cardinal business model is selling tickets. They're very afraid of sucking. So now we're seeing this like late stage where, what I don't understand is, how was this team picked to win the division? Like, I even said it before the season. Like, it was the same thing last year, and I'm watching. I'm like, I don't understand how you could objectively look at the roster and think that this was just going to be better.
Well, based on their history, based on the division, and those are the two things. I mean, based on reputation as an organization and making the right moves. and hitting on those right moves, you know, hitting on those moves as well. But yeah, I mean, every year, both central divisions, they're, you know, it's someone's to take, and it's been the Brewers, which you're not going to like to hear this, but I've enjoyed watching the Brewers this year.
No, I have no problem. They hit. They're fun.
Yeah, it was one of those hard knocks things too, and they just lost Yelich for the rest of the season. Nine back for both the Reds and Cardinals in that division, but. Yeah, I mean, it was a hard knock, you know, almost, I don't know if I can make the comparison, but once Craig Counsell was gone and the way he left Milwaukee, all of a sudden I wanted to start paying attention to the Brewers. And Pat Murphy, I know people who know him and they love him. So I had a keen interest in that franchise. And, you know, they're going to probably win the division title, barring a huge collapse at this point.
Steve, I really appreciate your work this week, my man.
Thank you so much. Thank you to you, Jeffrey, Brad, and Dennis as well. I enjoyed it.
That is Steve Lennox. When we come back, we tell your story right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, for today's Tell Your Story, we go to USA track runner Noah Lyles. On a social media clip, when asked about Tyreek Hill, what's the cheetah guy from football? Well, I can't remember his name. He then turns and asks, you know, what's the cheetah guy? What's the cheetah guy? Just the idea of acting like he doesn't know who Tyreek Hill is. Referring to him as the cheetah, but having no idea who Tyreek Hill is, that is the definition of a don't tell these story. Tell your story. Also, quick shout out to Josh Hart. Josh Hart also said on a podcast what I think a lot of us have felt, which is, I really wanted Noah Lyles to lose. I don't know of anyone that ran for Team USA that more people were out on after seeing him win. Shout out to Josh Hart for saying, I think, what we were all thinking. My thanks to Steve Lennox for joining us this week. Did a great job all week. Also, my thanks to Blake Topmeyer. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Steve, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.